Yes, greetings to you all in Jesus' name. This is Daniel King again with Daily Inspiration. Reading here this morning in Galatians 5, verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So the message here is that there's quite a contrast between living in the Spirit and living in the flesh. We're walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And there is quite a contrast in the fruit that comes forth from our lives. But I do believe that every fruit has a root, and that there is a reason why people walk in the flesh. And as it says here, in the flesh and in the Spirit would mean whoever is sitting on the throne room or the control seat or the seat of desire in our heart. And I believe that that's why Jesus said that it's not what goes into the mouth, but what proceedeth out of the heart that defileth a man. And I believe that there's a way I think that the fruit is a way to identify what is deeper within. You know, God calls us to discern calls us to discern who's our brother and who's not. And I believe that one of the ways to do that is by looking at what the fruits are that are coming from a person's life. And I've often been amazed how that the Ten Commandments was one of the first list of commandments that God gave to anyone, basically, unless he did it privately, but it's the first, you know, place of a list or a group of commandments. And what I mean by that is a list of do's and don'ts that God gave to his people. Now, later on, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, we can read of a lot more of a detailed list of commandments. But I think that the Ten Commandments sort of sums it up. There's something about God writing them on tables of stone and giving them to Moses personally. There's something about those Ten Commandments that I would say sort of stands out from the rest of God's more detailed commandments. I believe it's sort of a summary of God's heart to man, I think it kind of summarizes 10 different areas of the sins of mankind. And even though some overlap in some ways, I had to think of, every time you see a list of things in the New Testament, that you can easily point to them. They all fit in somewhere in the category of the Ten Commandments. If you just look at the works of the flesh here, it's talking about adultery, and that's one of the Ten Commandments. Fornication is also in the line of adultery, uncleanness and lasciviousness. All of those are in the line of adultery. And it says idolatry. That is idolatry and witchcraft are usually in the line of having idols. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Witchcraft is usually going to witch doctors. You think of witch doctors and all these doctors, even in America here, that use divination to diagnose certain illnesses and so on, certain sicknesses. You see them all around here, even in America, but it's worse in some other countries. Which is basically idolatry. Then it's hatred. Variance is contention. Emulation is jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, which is dissensions and heresies, and most of those, like the wrath and hatred, all of those fall in the line of the murder. Thou shalt not murder. So, as Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother in your heart, thou hast committed murder already. Then you have envyings and murders and drunkenness, reveling. I believe that falls in the category of not loving the Lord our God with all of our heart. And so I've been amazed already at how those things fit in there. But what Jesus wants us to do is look at the heart of the matter. And that's one of the things that I have noticed already that has frustrated a lot of Christians is that, put it this way, we're talking this week about being filled with the Spirit. So we're talking this week about being servants of the Most High. We're talking about having God's Spirit reigning in our bodies. And us doing the will of God as Jesus did when he walked the earth, and how that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and so therefore his hands and his feet are no longer available down here as they were when he walked on the earth, so he's depending on his followers to do that. But I think so many times that his followers, which are us, which are the Christians, find themselves handicapped because of, their flesh has not been dealt with at a root level. And that was one of the things that I wanted to point out this week, is that I believe there's a lot of frustrated Christians that are dealing with this. And it does eat away at our thirst and our desperation for God, as was talked about yesterday morning. If the flesh is not dealt with at a root level, as John the Baptist talks about going for the root of the tree, he talks about that in Matthew 3 and in Luke 3, where he's saying, lay the axe to the root of the tree. We all know what happens if we just cut a tree off at the top. It'll keep right on growing. And sometimes certain trees will even continue to grow if you cut them off at ground level. It's only when you dig out the root that a tree really dies. And so, you know, I believe that we do well if we see that we have an anger in our life. If we see that what we might call as righteous frustration, even, you know, we're frustrated about this and that. And I believe that if we get honest with ourselves and ask God what is behind this so we can get to the root, oftentimes we don't even know ourselves what the root is. But I have found that God will always be faithful when we ask Him. And when we get honest about asking Him, Lord, I have this certain problem, you know, with anger. And God will show us if we allow Him. The other thing we can do that is a biblical principle is to ask those around us, ask our spouse or our children maybe, or our parents, or, you know, whatever case we're in, our ministers, our brothers and sisters. It's always safest to ask a Christian. It's talking about not casting our pearls before the swine. So it's always safest to ask a Christian, you know what? What, honestly, you know, just confess. I have this problem. What do you think might be the root? And just open your heart and ask questions to other people and invite them to speak into your life. And oftentimes within a matter of weeks, it may not always be right away, but usually in a matter of weeks, it starts to become clearer. And then if you follow that leading and just keep pursuing, you know, that vein, just keep digging. It's a little bit like, you know, you can always see a tree from the top. It's very evident, but you don't really know what the root system is under there. You never really know until you start digging and you start following a root until if you follow a tree's root, starting at the trunk, and just keep digging, follow a root, you will eventually get to the end. You will eventually have dug out that tree. It's not that hard, so to speak. From the beginning, it looks overwhelming, but it's not that hard, really, if we get serious about it, to dig out a root in a tree. And so I believe that if we just keep persisting and keep asking and keep knocking, that God will eventually allow us and lead us. He Himself will lead us to the root of a problem. And the truth of the matter is, when we repent at a root level, when we keep digging, we usually come to the end. When we repent at a root level, we find that the strength and the power of that sin is gone. And there's such a freedom. And if we repent from that at a root level and apply the blood of Jesus at that level, we find that the strength of that sin is gone. And then if we fill that place with the Spirit of Christ, we find that there's such a freedom that comes. It feels like, you know, all of a sudden where you were struggling even just to share Christ, that now you find that it's bubbling over. And I've found that a blessing, and I believe that's what it talks about when it talks about walking in the Spirit. It says when we're walking in the Spirit, we are not under the law. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. That is Galatians 5, verse 18. I believe that's what it means. We're not under that law, bound to the, you know, subject to that anger or that hatred or whatever the sin is. And that we can now, in an overflowing, joyful type of way, be serving Christ.